The Torah in Siman Kof Samach, he begins the discussion of the halachas of ribis. Ma'id ma'id tzarech adam lizor be'is ribis. Ma'id ma'id, very very much. This is one of the few places, five to be exact, where the Torah uses the lashon ma'id ma'id to stress the chaymer iser. Ribis is unique. First of all, there's a tremendous yetzahara to be over the is of ribis. Ribis is very profitable. The leve is giving the ribis willingly. Much of our business world is based on paying interests. It's considered to be a basic expense of borrowing money, using somebody else's money. And therefore, the Torah, when it asks ribis, the Torah warns us to be especially careful. Ma'id ma'id, the yetzahara, the pull is strong, and therefore a person has to have an extra level of zahiras when we study ribis, and to be sure that there is no ribis within his business practices or within his personal life. The Mechaber in Siman Kuf Samach teaches us tzorach lizor beribis. A person has to be careful with the issa ribis. V'kama lavin emrubay. There are several lavin, up to six, which one is over when he lends money with ribis. And what's unique about the issa ribis is that the issa ribis is not only an issa on the malva, who's actually being neishich, biting in to his fellow Jew, but the Mechaber goes on to tell us, it's a Mishnah in Bava Metzia, v'afilu haloive, hanoisnei, even the loive, who's giving the ribis, you would say he's the victim, but yet the Torah has a lav on the loive, and the orev and the edim, the orev, the cosigner, the edim, the witnesses, are also over the issa ribis. The Shach brings down that the Prisha says b'shein, Haggadah's Prisha says b'shein the smag, the gam ha-sefer over, that even the one who draws up the document is also over the iser, like the simon lov neshach, that one is not allowed to place, even to put into effect a loan which has ribis, and therefore the zehiros for ribis is not only limited to the malve, the one who's lending money in ribis, but the loive, the one who's borrowing, the lawyer who's drawing up a loan documents, the loan broker, the notary, even the office workers who work in a company who are facilitating a ribis agreement could be over lifnei iver or lois simon of neshech, and therefore one has to realize and recognize that the issur of ribis is extremely far-reaching. And even if one is not actually profiting from the ribis, one can still be over the issur chomer and the issur ribis. And therefore, one has to be careful before you sign a document, whether it's a sale agreement, a rental agreement, one should read before they sign. Often, in standard documents, there could be a clause which might have an issa ribis or a chashash ribis. And a lawyer, of course, before he drafts the documents, he has to be careful from any clause which will have a issa of ribis. Sometimes, even if the malva and loive do not have in mind to charge each other interest at all, but sometimes there has to be a ribis clause in the shtar for legal reasons. In other words, to make into a business deal or not a gift or some other legal reasons, there might be a reason that it must be written with a ribis clause. If it's clear to everybody and they make up between themselves that absolutely no ribis will be charged, so then it would be mutar mikra din. However, it's preferable to put that in writing in a separate document between the malva and leve, that the reason why the ribis was put into the shtar is for legal reasons, and that would save them from the Isser of drawing up a ribbis contract. Another place where this comes into play is in Eretz Yisrael, when one signs up for a utility, etc. So, generally speaking, utilities, if you don't pay on time, sometimes a cell phone contract, there is an interest assessed if you do not pay on time. And therefore, by signing such a contract, if the supplier is a Yid, so one has to be careful from the Isser Ribbis. In those situations where if you pay on time, there is no Ribbis, so the consensus of the Paiskim is that it would be mutter to sign the original agreement, but make sure you pay on time. But the point that we're making over here is that Ribbis is an Isser Chomer Mitzad Atzmai, Kama Lavin, many, many Lavin, extending to anybody who's involved in the loan whatsoever. And on the other hand, it is an Isser which has a strong Meshicha, a strong pull. It's interesting that the Torah uses the Lashon Ma'id Ma'id, not in places necessarily where it's the most severe Isser, but rather in the case where there's the biggest Meshicha, the biggest Yetzirah, to go ahead and to be over the Isser. He talks about it by Tztaka, that a person has to be very careful to be Zor in Tztaka. He talks about it by the Isurim of Yichud and being Misrachik from Noshim, the Isser Sheichad, a doctor who's making a diagnosis, making sure that he is helping the patient, not Chas V'Shalom, the opposite. In places where it's easy to make a mistake and there's a Yetzirah to a pull not to be careful, that's where the Torah stresses the Ma'id Ma'id. And that's the way one has to address Ribbis, recognizing the Chaymer HaIsser and recognizing how all-encompassing the Isser is, and recognizing that there's a tremendous Negius, and therefore it's important to study the Halachos of Ribbis, to know them well, and anything which might have a Tzad Ribbis, which we'll see in future Shiurim, where one is gaining profit because of the time which is passing, one is buying someone else's money for time, so one should speak to a Rav who is well-versed in Hilchos Ribbis to work out how he should proceed. Now, the Isser Ribbis is only from Jew to Jew. The Malva and the Leva both have to be Jewish. When one is borrowing or lending to and from a Goy, there is no Isser Ribbis. The Mechaber, in the beginning of Simon Kufnun Tess, the Mechaber says, Dvar Torah, Mutter lahalvois lo'ekhav meribis. It's mutter to lend money to a Goy biribis. That's midaraisa. The place can point out that if a person has two opportunities to lend money, one is to a Jew, which is interest-free, and to a Goy with ribis, so the halacha is he has to lend the money to the Jew interest-free, unless he needs the interest for his basic parnasa, so then the halacha may be different. But basically this preference, one is mechuyev to lend to a Jew for free before he lends to a Goy beribis, and once it's mutter to lend a Goy money beribis, it would be usher to lend a Goy money without ribis. There is a lav leisichanim, we don't like giving free presents to Goyim unless they have earned it, or in a case of Eva, and lending money for free in the public market would be one of those type of things. And therefore, in a case where it is mutter to lend a Goy money beribis, it would also be the correct mahalach to go ahead and to lend dafka with ribis. Now the Gemara tells us that although it's mutter to lend to a Goy money with ribis, however, the Chacham Masru, the Chacham Asard, lending a Goy money with ribis, and the Gzeira is the Shema Yava of Yisrach, maybe a person will get into, the Gzeira is Shema Yilma Mimaisav, that the gzeira is that he might learn from the guy when he's doing business with the guy, so he might learn from the guy improper practices. And the reason why Chazal pulled out the Issa Ribbis is because other business, generally speaking, a person will do with a Jew. Why should he go ahead and do business with a guy if he can do business with a Jew? However, if somebody's in the profession of Ribbis, making money off Ribbis, so then he will. His only choice is to interact with Goyim, and Chazal was scared that if he is going to lend money to a guy with Ribbis, so then Shemigil will be Maisav. And the Shulchan Aruch brings down, comes to the Rishonim, Vo'id Mutter, that Bizman Hazeh, it is Mutter to lend money to a guy with Ribbis, and there are two reasons given to this by the Rishonim. First of all, when Chazal assered lending money to a guy with ribbis, they only assered what was laharvacha. Kidei chayev, what a person needs for his basic parnasa, Chazal allowed. And the place can point out that today the cost of living, we're talking be'ikr in medieval Europe, where the goyim are constantly levying taxes on the Jews, and therefore the cost of living was skyrocketing, and one could probably apply it to today's cost of living, that therefore whatever a person is earning would fall into the broader category of kedei chayev. The other reason given is that in the times of Chazal, where the Jews lived amongst themselves and they were able to engage in all commerce just amongst themselves, so therefore the only time one had to, so to say, leave the camp was to go ahead and lend money to the guy with ribbis. So therefore, we tell him, don't lend money to the guy with ribbis, stay within business, which you can do with a fellow Jew. However, bizman hazeh, one cannot make profits with Jews only. Whatever business a person is in, one is being busy with goyim also. So therefore, there's no larger chashash of shemigil m'maisav when we deal with ribbis than when we deal with other isurim. It's very interesting that the Bris Yehuda discusses what happens in the Moshlon Eretz Yisrael, where you have an insulated community where one does not have to deal with goyim. In such a case, would it be usher to so to say leave the community to go ahead and lend money to goyim with ribbis? That, or do you say that we look at the general public, so to say? So the Bris Yehuda is noite lahachmir, and he said that it would be a proper anhaga if a person lives in such an insulated community to keep away from lending money to goyim with ribbis, to find a different business. However, it's brought b'shem l'chot hashani that one could lend even. We look at the general public, the general community, and it would be mutter. It's interesting to point out that l'chol hadeis, to go ahead and put money in a goyish bank, would be mutter, because Chazal were only geyser on ribbis d'oraisa and not ribbis d'rabbanon. Because our banks are corporations, one is probably dealing with a, most paiskim, with maximum ribbis d'rabbanon, and therefore using a goyish bank would not be bechlal the gzeira. Now, there are people who, in the eyes of halacha, although they're Jewish, who have the halacha of a goy, a mummer, mechal shaz v'hesya, and Shulchan Aruch discusses, is it mutter to borrow or lend from a mummer with ribbis? So, to borrow from a mummer with ribbis is for sure going to be aser. He is still af pishachot Yisraelu, he is still a Jew, and therefore he is not allowed to take ribbis from you. And therefore, when you're indeed paying the mummer ribbis, so then you are being machshel him in the issa ribbis. The question is, can you lend money to a mummer with ribbis. Can we say, since in the certain areas of halacha, we consider him not to be Jewish, therefore that'll be enough to be matter the issur ribbis or not? So this is a tremendous machlokes apayiskim, and we find basically three svaras in the Rishonim why it would be mutter to lend a mummer money with ribbis. Rabbeinu Tam says that the halacha is a person who's a mummer is meridin oisei, that we would sort of convince him to go to the bottom of a bar, and then we would pull out the ladder. We are encouraged, not bizman hazeh, when it would just to go ahead and to remove one mummer from our midst would not really help out the general influence. When Klal Yisrael's al admasam, the halacha of a mummer was meridin oisei, that you would megirim his misa, and therefore Beit HaTam says if you can megirim his misa, so then if his guf, if his life is hefker, mimayinai kolshkein, for sure his money is hefker. So therefore, based on that, it should be mutter to lend money to a mummer with ribbis. Now, the Mishnah Melech counters that there's a difference between his guf and his mamon, because his children, although if we kill him, but when we take away his money, which kill him, then we're solving the problem. But his money, if we take away his money, it's very possible the mummer's child will be an Erlich Yid, and therefore by taking away his money, we're hurting Erlich Yid. And therefore the Mishnah Melech says that the heter of lending money to a mummer with ribbis, according to Rabbeinu Tam, would only apply to a mummer who's yotzim and aklal, a mummer who's living amongst the goyim, and therefore he's left the fold totally, and therefore his children are living with the goyim, and unlikely that they are going to be erlich yidden. There are other svaros in the Rishonim. The Ramban says that he's not called a chicha. The pasuk says a chicha. There are those who say that ribbis has shayach to v'cheyach chicha imach, the one who you are mechuyif to support. And therefore, the consensus of most Rishonim is that it's mutter to lend a goy money with ribbis. However, mummer money with ribbis. However, Rashi holds that it's aser. And the Mechaber's Tal teaches us mummer mutter lahalva yisei ribbis. It's mutter to lend a goy. Mummer money with ribbis. V'yesh b'achmirim zokter mo af mummer lahalva yisei. V'toyv lahachmirim efshel lishoy menu. It's good to be machmir if you can dray out of it. And that is the final halacha, that one should try to dray out from lending a mummer money with ribbis. And again, if the person, the mummer is living amongst goyim, married to a shiksa, so then it's you only have the tovel hachmir. If he's basically associating still with from yidden in a way that it's a reasonable possibility that his children will end up coming back, so then there's more of a tzad not to lend him money with ribbis. Toiv l'hachmer efshel l'shav imenu. Pesachei Tshuva and Ramesha point out that one should try not to lend the mummer. However, if one must lend the mummer, so then one would be allowed to go ahead and lend them money with ribbis. If one must make the halva, it would be mutter to lend the money with ribbis. Ramesha says that once it's mutter, you'd be mechuyev, because you're not supposed to go ahead and stam be mahana a mummer. However, if sometimes when you lend money to a business partner or something like that, so then it's l'tevas the malve. It's l'tevas the malve, so it'd be like every loisei chanim, that l'tevas hamalve would be mutter. But basically, one should try to lend a mummer money with the het iska if he'll accept it. If he won't accept the het iska, so then better to dray out. But if one can't dray out, Ramesha paskins that one could lend the money with ribbis. That's the pesach of the Ramah and the Pesach Teshuva. V'tayv lahachmer im efshar lishame mimenu. Now, the big question is our frayidin, are they true mummer? And the Chazon Ish, it's well known, felt that our Frayidin are a Tidik Shenishba, although the standard definition of Tidik Shenishba is that he was captured from the Goyim, he never met a Frum Yid in his life, he doesn't know what he's missing, and therefore he doesn't know what it's mechuyim to research. However, someone who lives amongst Jews, he knows what a Jew is, and he knows that he's Jewish, is mechuyim to do proper research. But the Chazon Ish says that Bizman Hazeh, with so much negative influence and negative propaganda against the Frum Yidden, so therefore we can't expect the child to go ahead, or the adult for that matter, to do his own research, and therefore the average Frayid who did not grow up in a Frum home has the halacha of a Tinik Shnishba, and therefore he would not have the heter of Mummer, even according to the Matir. Ramesha argues, and because the truth that we just mentioned for Ramesha, Ramesha seems to apply Mummer to our Frum Yidden, but again, this would be another reason. Our not Frum Yidden, he applies the heter of Mummer to our not Frum Yidden, but again, this would be another reason not to lend a Frayid Yid money with ribbis, because according to Chazon Ish, he may not be a Mummer, but frat if he's in a place where his children could very easily be picked up and influenced back, so then you won't have the full svara of Rabbeinu Tam, and therefore, as a matter of practice, it comes out of Machlokes in Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish what to do if one cannot convince the Frayid to make a heter esker.